Thanks be to the Lord. This is our prayer, our longing, our wish, that through the divine fire, through the Spirit of God, through that what happens in us could be manifested divine life and the nature of Jesus Christ. This is what distinguishes children of God from children of men. Nothing else. Not the outward, but the inward. If out of children of men become children of God, then must and will the divine nature be manifest. Let us in these meetings really take heed that also our thoughts are put in order within the limits of the Word of God. Only then we can all go with, and only in this way we all will receive a rich blessing. And one just has to make aware of how it was in the days of Job and at other times. Wherever the people of God gather, where sons of God come together, there it can be common that the enemy is also present. When the sons of God gathered, suddenly there was great amazement that also the evil one was present, and the Lord himself asks him, "Where do you come from?" And he said, "From going to and fro on the earth. I was walking up and down on it," and he still does it today. And we have to watch out that we always put our thoughts under the control of the Spirit of God. Shall I tell you something? Most certainly, it's nothing new. That the enemy makes use of the Word to paralyze us, just as God uses the Word to raise the lame. Do you want an example? I give it to you. From the Word of the Lord and from the practice. If we, for instance, want to experience the working of God, and let us assume it gets a bit louder, then the enemy can whisper into the left ear, "God was not in the storm. God was not in the earthquake. God was not, God was not, God was not." You all know 1 Kings 19, when Elijah there experienced the Lord. And it's right. It is written, God was not in the storm. But you know, that all that was already laid by God in such a way to prepare this man of God to the final, which would follow all that. Did you know this? Did you know this? You see, in this way, the enemy can really come. He doesn't whisper into the right ear. He whispers into the left ear. And already the people of God are paralyzed. The wings do not spread. One doesn't lift off. And the enemy has, as always, put the Word of God upside down. How did he come to the Lord? With the "it is written." How does he come to you? How does he come to me? With the "it is written." Only, and we have to pay attention, if the enemy uses the Word, then he wants to make us fall. as with the Lord, then he wants to trick us somehow. Speak that these stones become bread. After 40 days, everyone is hungry. And because the Lord was hungry, yes, speak. Bread was necessary. And the enemy used the word, but to test, to tempt, to trick, to paralyze, to hinder. Let us in these days really pay attention that also our thinking honors God. You all know it is written probably in Mark 12, verse 30, if I remember correctly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I rather read it. I read this text from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 from verse 30. Or only verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And with all thy strength. It can happen to us that we love God with all our heart and also with all our strength, and that we miss to love him with our mind, our thinking. Also, our thinking must be placed within the limits of the Word of God. Only in this way the Lord will succeed to give us what we have need of. To this remark of the text from 1 Kings chapter 19, let me read here just briefly, so that there is clarity about that it was the Lord who passed by Elijah, and that it was the Lord who let everything happen what happened there, and who prepared it to then give in a still small voice the climax of these experiences to the prophet. 1 Kings 19 from verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And then it is listed of all what happened. That what happened has in this man of God worked the preparation, the expectation, the reverence, all that what this man needed to experience the final things with God. All these things that preceded have worked it. We could not yet say that we experienced the final things with God. But we are grateful for every movement which God gives. We are grateful to God that He, by His Spirit, works. Today, we will continue with teaching, with a word observation. After all, it's about that we know who Jesus is. That was the question at that time, and this is the question today. And for it, we want to let God's word speak. What people say, we are not interested, since the time when God started to speak. in the moment where we understood that God speaks with us, we understood at the same time that people have nothing to say to us anymore. In the moment where God's word is revealed to us by the Spirit and illuminated, we can generously do without all interpretations. For God is not in the interpretations. God is in His word. And we are not an interpretation. We are a product of the word. Like Jesus Christ was the word made flesh. So it is with us. And these days must bring it. These days must bring a breakthrough in the kingdom of God. And it will depend on all of us, how we inwardly go with and participate in that what is happening. I read now from Psalms 104 for the introduction into our subject about the glory of the Lord. Psalms 104 from verse 1 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest Thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. So far this word. We speak today about the glory of the Lord and will show you from the Holy Scripture what actually happened and why it had to happen. Namely, because God wanted to include us as men into His plan. And He has included us until we also will stand transfigured in His presence. John 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. Here we read from verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own Self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. There is no true believer who would like to avoid even one scripture. There are people who defined their doctrines and everything what does not fit fully into their imagination, into their concept, this they leave out. In God's concept fits every word of the Old and New Testament. Every statement, everything fits. And if we also let ourselves be placed into it, then we will be able to place it correctly. God was from eternity to eternity, in His radiance, in His light, in His majesty, in His glory. If here our Savior says, "Glorify thou me with the glory which I had before the world was," then we know, as Israel said, before the world was created, God was from eternity to eternity. Let me read Luke 2, and then we will show from the Old and from the New Testament what the glory of the Lord is and in what kind of way God already revealed Himself in the Old Testament. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." We first deal with the term glory. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. But the Lord Himself laid already in the manger. He came forth from the glory. He took upon Him the form of a servant. But the glory nevertheless appeared, because the Lord of glory became man. We will see how God illustrated the connection in Christ with mankind in a visible way. I read from John 1, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. I will deal with the several scriptures just briefly, because I want to read a lot. John 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We beheld His glory. Today, we call upon a few witnesses, biblical witnesses of the Old and New Testament, who walked with God, who have heard the voice of God, who saw His glory, and who have left unto us a true testimony. We do not depend on that, what people say. We want to hear what God says. It was, of course, confirmed also in our generation. We will come to it later. many could do nothing with the glory of the Lord, with a supernatural cloud, with a light, because they have no foundation from the Old and New Testament. And then came the scribes and made null and void what was precious to them. And then they didn't know which way to turn. I believe that God informs His people, teaching them, that He gives clarity through truth, and that the Holy Spirit illuminates unto us that what happened in our generation from the Scripture, so that we stand on biblical ground, on the unmistakable foundation of the Word of God. Let us read from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here the man of God writes, who was also present on the Mount of Transfiguration. 2 Peter 1 from verse 16 to 18. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Amen. We have not only heard what others said, we were present. We have seen what is glory. Your imagination, my imagination? No. Glory is the supernatural light in which God dwells. Is this clear? We will still see this and look at it from the Holy Scripture. If a Stephen says, I saw heaven open and saw the glory of God, then he didn't make only words, then he has truly seen something. And Peter writes here, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Let us read this scripture from Matthew 17, where this eyewitness report has its origin. Matthew chapter 17, the well-known verses to all of us. Here we read from verse 5 to 7. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You can read on that those who were there fell on their face. Peter, John, and James were present. Likewise, Moses and Elijah. The glory of God is not an imagination, but divine reality. As a earthy cloud is reality, so the supernatural cloud is divine reality. And many have seen this glory of God. They beheld the light as far as it could be revealed to them. Some saw it as the pillar of fire, others as a pillar of cloud, others as glory which surrounded them. God can reveal Himself as He likes. And the nice thing is, He does it also. He doesn't ask any man whether it's okay. But all who are born of God, they will rejoice about it. They will inwardly go with. We read from the Old Testament, from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. This time it's long verses. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Let us stop here for a moment. Ezekiel looked into the glory. He saw the throne. He saw him who sat upon the throne. And pardon me if we make the remark here. He saw not many. He saw one. The one who says, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" Here sat one on the throne. He saw him. I don't believe that he wrote down imaginations. I believe that the prophets of God were true prophets, penetrated by the truth of God. They didn't make up experiences, but they wrote down experienced truths so that we might have a certain testimony and so that we can be settled scripturally. I read on, verse 27. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about.
Und strahlendes Licht war rings um ihn her. Amen.
Amen. God is a consuming fire, but a shining light surrounded him, surrounded this fire. We read on. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. We speak here about the glory of the Lord. There appeared unto them the glory of the Lord. We beheld his glory. What is it? What is it about? Here it says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Who remembers Luke chapter 2 and the precise connections? Shepherds were in the field in the night, right? At night. And suddenly, the glory of the Lord appeared. and surrounded them. Into the midst of the night came the light, came the glory, came the radiance upon them who waited for the comfort of Israel. Who has seen it? Who experienced it? People of whom God knew, they will be grateful for it. They will not explain things. They will believe. They will rejoice about it. There was great joy proclaimed that should be experienced by all the people. I would like that we see this today from a biblical point of view in a clear way. How God divided himself into a heavenly and an earthly realm to be able to take mankind out of this earthly realm and to bring them into the heavenly realm. Everything what God does has a meaning and purpose. It has a great meaning and purpose that goes beyond time and that merges into eternity and that will last forever. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The Lord appeared in the light, in this radiance, in the majesty. But according to Luke 2, the glory was coming from above, but the Lord of glory did become man already. And yet the glory was not far away. Let us read on. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12. I read on purpose some scriptures that we know that things are so. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. He saw it. He experienced it. How many can remember the experience of Brother Branham in the northwest of Tucson, Arizona, USA, when the storm passed by and loosened the rocks from the mountain and the rocks rolled down into the valley. When the tips of the trees were chopped off and even the cliff was cut off. Of course, God was not in the storm, but God caused it to bring this man of God into a state of awe. I believe that God has this in mind for all of us. When did the Lord speak with Brother Branham? When with the prophets? When he could bring them into a state of awe in his presence, that they were willing to take off their shoes and to know that they stepped on holy ground because God reveals himself. We can testify the Lord is and remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm grateful that we really heard of the living God in our generation, that there was a man on earth, a true prophet of God, whom the Lord used as a mouth to speak through him. I read from the same chapter, Ezekiel 3, namely verse 22 and 23. Ezekiel 3, verse 22 and 23. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and there I will talk with thee.
Dort will ich mit dir reden. Halleluja.
Halleluja.
Dort
there I will talk with thee.
Da machte ich mich auf.
Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar. And I fell on my face. Beloved, I cannot do otherwise but to give God the glory that He in our time came down, testifying of Himself in a supernatural way, that even them who didn't want to believe or who could not believe, that also they would have no excuse. I have with me today the picture, you all know it. I brought it with me, and I wished all of you would understand that this is the same glory of the Lord, the same light, the same cloud in which God appeared in all of the Old Testament and also in the New to Saul on the way of Damascus. I have today brought with me the Life magazine, where the report of the cloud is written. I brought with me today the Science magazine, where the picture is shown with a cloud that appeared on the 28th of February, here on the first page. God testified of Himself in our generation. It were not only words, it was a divine acting, a supernatural divine act. For what? For what purpose? That we are brought into a state of awe before that what God had to say, that we not again interpret or go therein to and fro and say, this we believe and this we don't believe, this we receive and this we don't receive. Don't be angry with me when I say this here. People who have such an attitude, to them God cannot yet speak at all. He needs people who are doing the same as the prophets did. What did they do? They fell on their face. I remember the experience of Brother Branham when some brothers were present and when he gave the prophecy about the west coast of America. He just called out, brothers, fall on your face. And he just finished saying it. And already the glory of the Lord, the presence of God was there. We must understand that we proceeded. We are no longer at the beginning of the end time, but at the end. God requires respect before Himself, before His word, before all what He does. He wants that we believe, He wants that we receive, and that we walk forward together. From the divine message, something must have come forth at the end. Namely, a people of God, the church of the firstborn, that is being called out for the last round. And we, by grace, may be part of them. How nice that we have the Word of God, that we can read this God did already, here and there, and so forth. Let me read from Moses. He was one of the greatest prophets, and he gave the prophecy, "A prophet like unto me, God will raise up unto thee from the midst of thy brethren." Exodus 23, Exodus 23, pardon me, Exodus 33, it's about the glory of God. Exodus 33, here it is, verse 18, maybe some verses. Exodus 33, from verse 18. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." What is the prayer here? Show me thy glory. We speak about the glory of the Lord. Also Moses saw the glory of the Lord. The Lord himself was veiled into this radiance, into this majesty, into this supernatural light. Moses saw this glory passing by him. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, everything what comes from God is just as reality as he himself is reality. These experiences should encourage us and strengthen our faith that God can be experienced in whatever way. We cannot take the position of a Moses. His task was different, not into the position of an Elijah. Also his task was different, also not into the commission of Brother Branham. It was a different one. But we may draw the blessing from all that, what God has done. We can agree to that. And when we hear about it, or read about it, that the Lord revealed himself in a supernatural way, then our heart rejoices. If it's about earthy things, also in the proclamation, then there is a large number of mighty evangelists in the USA who all understand their business. But if it is about that God called a man who could say day and hour and year and the hour of the day, when it happened, and could also report what he was told. You all know the story. It was dark in the room. Suddenly, a mighty light that shines into the room. And the first thought that came to him was, has somebody such a powerful torch to now shine into this room? And suddenly he looked up to see from where the light came. It came from above and shined into the room. And then he looked on the ground and saw the feet of him who walked in this light. And he said, I was sent to you from the presence of God. This is not an invented thing. This is divine reality in our days. And with it, a divine commission, a divine sending, a divine legitimation. We actually wouldn't need a confirmation of the divine message. It was confirmed in a manifold way. And yet we wait for it, that the Lord makes every single word true, confirming it to be true on us and in us and through us. But just be very sincere. Isn't it precisely the supernatural working of God that attracted and spoke to us? What made us to hear? We understood. Not a man came on the scene, but a man sent from God with a divine message. For what? To prepare a people for the Lord. To call out, to make again the difference clear between them who serve God and who don't serve Him. And you know, this word is written in Malachi 3. The first part, very clear, verse 1, referring to John the Baptist. He will go before the Lord to prepare His way. But then, when it comes slowly to the second part, then it says, when they that feared the Lord gathered, then a book of remembrance was written. And then it says, then you shall see the difference between him that serves God and him who serves him not. And then it merges into the mighty promise. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Do you marvel that the Lord passed by Brother Branham in the storm? Do you marvel that the Lord came down with His glory, that He time and again testified of Himself in a supernatural way? I don't marvel. I rejoice. In me, about this and to this, an awe came up in me. I've said it here before. Many things impressed me when I back then heard and saw Brother Branham and witnessed what God was doing. But his testimony of his direct commission and the divine sending, which is connected with it, this impressed me more than the watching that blind-born received their sight. It was mighty. This was wonderful. But you know, God doesn't do signs and wonders just to have done them. What did Brother Branham say? The Lord gives a sign to afterward let the voice sound, so that all who have seen the sign, that they got attentive to then, in the right attitude, hear the voice. The voice of God that comes from the Word. Moses prayed, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. If we believe that God revealed himself in his glory, then at least also his name must have become known to us. If Brother Branham would have come on the scene without knowing what the name is in which God revealed himself in the New Testament, what would then have been the special? The Lord proclaimed his name to emphasize how important the covenant name is to him. How many enemies did Brother Branham make himself because he emphasized the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he put the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ upon the lampstand? How many said, we know that you are a man of God, but leave aside these things. Stop it. What shall we stop? What is not of God, this we can stop. But that, what comes from God, for this we were waiting for, and this we want to have. I really wished that in all the translations would still be written the Hebrew names, in particular the names of God. Because today we read Lord, in the Greek we read Kyrios or Theos, and there are names in it which God never proclaimed. It would have been good, or Adonai and so forth. It would have been good if the original names of God would still be there. Whether Elohim, whether Yahweh, also in the New Testament, we read the Greek form, Jesus. The Hebrew form is Yahshua. Yahweh, the first three letters, J-A-H, Yah, Yahweh. Yahweh is Savior. Today we read Jesus. It would be better we would know the Yahweh is Savior. The Yahweh is the one whom we know as Jesus. But also here, the sovereignty of God has taken care for everything. God has overlooked our ignorance and also of the translators. And perhaps he even allowed it on purpose, so that to the people of God, not only by reading, but by the revelation of the Spirit, the original truths are made known. Otherwise, every high priest would know it. Every scribe, all would know it. And in this way, only he knows it, to whom God reveals it. Here, Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, and he saw it. It says in verse 22, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock. At first, upon the rock, and then in the rock. Isaiah says, from the cleft of the rock we were hewn. Jesus, the rock of salvation. We came forth from him. We were placed in him. He in us and we in him. This man was safe. He was protected. Nothing could happen to him. If you and I, if we by faith have come into Christ, then we are safe, then we are protected, then we come to a rest in our God. In the rock of salvation, nothing can happen to you. May God give grace that we come into it. I read on from Exodus Exodus 34, also a well-known scripture to all of us. Exodus 34, here it says, from verse 29, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." You all know the story. Moses had to veil his face because the glory of the Lord left an abiding radiance even on his face, and the children of Israel could not look on him. God's glory can be reflected of them who may have a look into his glory. You might ask now, Brother Frank, how is it with us? Where are we placed? With what shall we count? Will we also see something visible of the glory of God? Yes, we will see the glory of God visible. Probably not on earth, but there. Here we believe. Here we believe that what God promised us. And this Paul wrapped up in the words, "What no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what didn't enter into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love him." But the glory of God is a reality. It's a radiance. It's a light. It is majestic. And I told it to you here, and I can say it again. I have seen it once in my life, on the 1st of January 1981. I described it. I have said precisely what I have seen and what I experienced when I was taken up with a multitude dressed in white, majestically. And then I saw something like a pyramid, a bit bent towards the middle. Not much. One could see it. But a radiance. Also this I explained. A radiance. As one sees it, it can be compared when fresh snow falls and the sun shines on this freshly fallen snow, and you look over the snow, then it shines and sparkles. Have you seen it before? That's how it was, only now more mighty. But that's how it was, as if everything was alive. But I could see precisely where this pyramid ended. It was like crystal, but the radiance, the light, went through. It didn't remain there, but it went through and spread all over. How far, this I couldn't even see. In any case, I have seen the glory of the Lord. It did well to me. I'm grateful to God. You all know how disappointed I was when I then came back into my body. This was one of my greatest disappointments of my life. But probably the Lord wanted to give me a comfort, being the least of his servants. I didn't use the word little on purpose. I didn't use it. It was not a little comfort. It was a great comfort that I, in advance, could experience the translation and the rapture. And when I say it somewhere, I know that I will be part of it. And the brother who spoke with me claimed that the rapture took place already. I said, as long as I am on this earth, the rapture didn't take place yet. And then he got angry and said, what do you think of yourself? And this I could answer him quickly, namely very short and brief. I think of myself to be also raptured. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. This we don't say out of arrogance. This we say because God promised it to us. And because we believe, therefore we speak. And we even know what we are talking about. If we speak of the cloud, of the pillar of fire, of the glory of the Lord, of His majesty, you will see how many scriptures will still come, be it this afternoon, maybe still now, two which we can read now, also from Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, here we read from verse 34, Exodus 40, from verse 34. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Do you see now the transition of the glory of the Lord to the cloud? Please pay attention to every word, to every term that occurs in these scriptures. It's going to be very important in our further observation. I read once again, when Moses thus finished the work, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It was visible. The radiance, the majesty was there. He did not dare to enter. I read on, verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night. You see, already the transition from the cloud to the pillar of fire. On the day, a cloud. At night, a pillar of fire. Do you get it? Oh, God arranged everything so wonderfully. So glorious, so clear, it was written down, that even a fool cannot go astray. How often did Brother Branham speak of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? Did you hear him say of the seven colors of the rainbow that are in it, and that the color of the fire dominated the most in this composition? How often he described precisely what he has seen. And even it was just a cloud, he only described it as a cloud. Was this cloud mixed with fire? Then he also said it. This we emphasized earlier. God the Lord can reveal himself as he likes. He will ask no one for it. We are thankful that he revealed himself. Moses could experience it back then. Why did the Lord say to Brother Branham, as Moses were given two signs, so you are also given two signs. If they don't believe the first, then they will have to believe the second. Moses received the signs so that Israel should believe that God has sent him to them. I have said already, many believe that the Lord blessed Brother Branham. But who believes that he is a prophet announced by God, a prophet promised in the Word? In the moment where they have to admit that, comes an obligation upon them that they have to believe what the man of God said in the name of the Lord. And therefore they reject this thought. But one day they will have to face the fact. There is no man, also not one of the greatest preachers, who will get past what God has done in our time. The hour comes in which all the great evangelists, of whom no man would have heard something if they would not have been a William Branham, they will one day face this divine fact. What did you do with that what I have given you? You have put aside that man whom I sent with a message, and you have put yourself into the center and made business with the people of God. And you didn't preach to them my word. You didn't heal the wounds. The hour is coming of a divine reckoning. I don't mean the last judgment. There comes a day on which the Lord gives testimony for his servants and prophets. Verse 38 in Exodus 40. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Is this not wonderful? Not only over the prophets, but over all the people of Israel, visible, what is written in the prophecy or in the prayer of Zechariah. He comes on the scene to give knowledge of salvation to the people of God. Jesus, a light to enlighten the Gentiles, and all who come out from all peoples, tongues, and nations and find their way to God. Not to a doctrine, but really who come to the Lord. To them it will be revealed what happened in this time. They will be able to place God's word and God's doing until the end, because they let themselves be placed by God. I read also from Numbers, chapter 20. Numbers, chapter 20. Numbers 20, verse 6. Here the following is written. Numbers 20, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. What was the glory of the Lord? This supernatural cloud which the people of Israel beheld, and they knew the Lord is present, the Lord speaks, and all had to respect what he said. He who didn't respect it was disobedient and perished. As the last one, the very mighty place from Exodus 33, Exodus chapter 33, verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. We speak about the glory of the Lord. We speak of the supernatural cloud, of the radiance, of the majesty. We speak of that the Lord of glory has put off his glory, leaving it behind, and became man, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. For me, this is and remains the greatest miracle of which we can ever hear of, that the Lord of glory remembered us in such a way to leave behind his majesty, his glory, his immortality, being found in fashion as a man, to hear in the body of flesh, redeeming us, who we have sinned in the body of flesh, and in reality pay the price here on this earth for your and my redemption. And right at the end, also we will be glorified. We will still come to it. There are many scriptures. Also we will be glorified with him, and we will be like him, as he became like we are, so we will be like him without any compromise. And here we see the second miracle. This is even harder for us to believe than the first, that God, the Lord, could put off his majesty, becoming man. This we can still believe, but that we, miserable creatures, poor losers, failures, and whatever we are, that we shall then be like the Lord. This humbles us into the dust from which we were taken. But we are grateful, for we can believe that it will take place. And John, of course, said it. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, then we will be like him. Do you believe it? Also we will behold the glory of the Lord. Do you believe that the faithful Lord in our generation has revealed himself to Brother Branham like to a Moses, thousands upon thousands of times? This light came into the meetings when Brother Branham prayed for the sick. You hear it when he says it in the film. Now I see how the light follows this lady for whom I just prayed. And he says, now I see the Spirit of God there approaching that corner. He has really seen it. This I believe with all my heart and with all my soul. The presence of God was there. And also we may count with it. Did not the Lord say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Whether it is given to someone that he sees, or if others see nothing. But the question which we have to ask ourselves is whether we all believe. There were people who have seen and others believed their testimony. I am not one of the three wise men who saw the star arising, but I believe what I said, that the star arose in Jacob, as prophesied in the Old Testament, and they followed it. I was not there when John saw the light, the Spirit of God descending, but I believe that it took place. I believe the testimony of them whom God ordained to write down what they have seen and experienced. This was the thought which John expressed in his letter. What we have seen, what we have heard, what our hands have handled of the word of life, this we declare unto you, so that you also believe that what God has done, we preach unto you, that you also believe. Believe God, and you will see His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and worship.
Auf goldenen Straßen singen hell und klar. Nach dem Streit Herrlichkeit, Freude immer da. Oh, ich möchte schauen, den, der für mich starb. Allzeit jubeln, preisen, seine Rettertat, möcht auf goldenen Straßen singen hell und klar. Nach dem Streit Herrlichkeit, Freude immer da.
How many believe that the glory expects us? Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. How many can believe that we will be part of it when the Lord fetches His own? Don't shake with your shoulders. What shall this be? I see somebody shaking his shoulders. This may not be true. May the Lord be merciful to us. Nobody shall do like this. Please, this may not be true. No, everybody shall say Amen and Hallelujah, because we believe. Oh, this may not be true. No, true is what God has said. We are not that what sin made out of us. We are that what God has made out of us by grace and justification. And it is written, now are we the children of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, whoever looks on himself, he can do this. I haven't seen it for a long time. But this you don't need to do. Believe me, this you don't need. Do you know how we insult God through unbelief? If we don't take it for real, what He has done for us in Christ, with this we are causing Him great pain. And the Lord said, if you don't believe that I am He, then you will die in your sin. But because we believe that it is Him, the I Am, because we believe it is Him, therefore we did not die in our sin. Our sin, our chastisement, our guilt, our iniquities were laid on Him, so that we might have peace, and by His stripes we are healed. Can you believe it? If we are healed, then we are healthy. If someone was sick before and says, I am healed, what do you expect then? That the person affected was made well. It is written, the Lord sent His word and made them well. In the food is not death, in the food is life. It was not gathered on the field by the sons of the prophet, but from the throne of God, God's word was freshly revealed. I say it again, not by the sons of the prophet who wanted to be something, but of somebody who was nothing, but whom God ordained as a prophet for the nations. Is this not wonderful? Let us sing a couple of choruses. Be happy. It doesn't have to be always so loud. It can also be intimate. It can be warm. There's also an intimate, a deep, a warm joy. The one shows it like this, and the other may be a bit different. We respect all. Important is that we honor God by faith, that we thank Him for that what He has done. Lord of glory, God of all grace and of all comfort, You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, You, the God of Moses and Elijah, You, the God of all prophets and apostles, You, true and living God, to You we say thanks in this hour that You turned to us, speaking with us. You revealed Yourself to us. We thank You that You remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. You, O Lord, You was the one who appeared with His glory to Moses in the burning bush, later on in the cloud of glory. It was You whom Ezekiel saw. It was You who spoke with all the prophets. You revealed Yourself to them, and You spoke through them. You are the one who has put off His glory to become man, to become a servant, to be able to redeem us. We thank You for it. We praise Your holy name. And we know that we will see You in glory. Hallelujah. To You, the Lamb of God, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, we worship You and we give You alone the glory. Faithful Savior, give us the right reverence before You, the respect before Your word, before Your speaking, O Lord, that we take every word to heart. Give us also the strength to live it out and to do accordingly, so that we become doers of the word. Bless us all who are here. Bless all who wanted to come and could not come. You know where they are, Lord, with what kind of longing they are there, but cannot be here. We pray, have Your own way with us. Lord, I want to thank You today in the presence of Your people with all my heart for the privilege that You have given to me from the very beginning to see Your supernatural working, to hear it, to experience it. My Lord, may You bless us all and give us grace that we keep Your word deep in us and ponder on it and believe that You confirm it and make it a reality. Dear Lord, no one shall be left in our midst who is still weak in the faith. No lame one, no one limping, as it was with the people of Israel in the natural. So may here in the spiritual, each one be made well, being strengthened, walking by the strength of Your food. Lord, we thank You for it. Your revealed word is fresh manna, divine food for our soul, also for the word observation this morning. We thank you with all our heart, and we ask you, be with all of us by grace. In Jesus' name, amen.